Hey, you want that to go?
Now it's time for some news takeouts, and we'll start with Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. We're also joined by New York Times finance reporter Louise Story, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateo is at the...
Mateen.
Did I say Mateo? I think you should change your name, Ibrahim. We have the whole gang at the table here. So let's start with you, Todd. President Obama is supposed to be talking today about a spending freeze for some domestic programs in his State of the Union speech. What is he going to be freezing spending on?
Well, this is a proposal to freeze spending for all discretionary spending. And in Washington, discretionary spending means the stuff you have power to change year to year. That's opposed to entitlements, Medicare and Medicaid. So the president is going to propose no increases in discretionary spending for 3 years. This does not include the VA, which is like veterans' health benefits. It doesn't include Homeland Security, and it does not include defense. The real question is how much of an impact this is really going to make, because the real money in our long-term deficits, the hundreds of billions into the trillions, is really in Medicare and Medicaid, defense, and Social Security. So how much of an impact this makes beyond savvy politics, I think, is an open question.
Okay, and speaking of politics, in the same line, the Senate is talking about responsible fiscal action, and they're creating a yet another commission, but this one is going to look into being responsible fiscally.
Well, they're talking about creating another commission, and commissions sort of make your eyes glaze over, and I understand that. But this one, if they passed it, would be pretty serious. They would appoint a big commission of experts who would make decisions about how to improve the long-term deficit situation of the country. But you wouldn't be able to just ignore it. Congress would have to vote on these recommendations, up or down, no filibusters. They would have to vote on them, and they'd be forced to. The problem is that Congress doesn't like to give up its constitutional right to make these decisions.
Even to a commission? What about a blue ribbon panel?
Well, if it had two blue ribbons and a gold one, they might consider it. You know, they did one commission.
It was
on one commission on base closures did work. It's the only one in Washington that people really think worked.
Yeah,
this one's probably not going to pass. A lot of liberals don't like it because they think it's going to wind up cutting programs that lower income folks really rely on. And a lot of the old school senators like Robert Byrd, they just don't want to give up Congress's authority here.
Right,
it probably won't pass.
Of course.
Well, Louise, what do you think of this idea of a spending freeze? Is it fiscally responsible? Does it actually affect the economy in some simple way?
Well, I mean, the administration is in somewhat of a bind because we do have these rocket deficits. A lot of people on Wall Street are concerned about them. But at the same time, he needs to do programs that are going to help the middle class, that are going to help people, and that requires some sort of spending.
And that's really the contradiction here. Listen to the president yesterday.
We're going to keep fighting to rebuild our economy so that hard work is once again rewarded, wages and incomes are once again rising, and the middle class is once again growing.
The president announcing a middle class task force, from commissions to task forces. First of all, what does a task force do for the middle class, and how can Washington fight for jobs in a tangible way?
So this middle class task force was established a year ago. It's led by the Vice President, Joe Biden. They'll put out their first report in a month. But they went on yesterday with President Obama at their side and announced four key plans they want to do to help the middle class. These programs center on child care, doubling the child care tax credit. They have initiatives to help people save for retirement, capping the annual payments for student loans, $1 billion towards that. And helping for health care for the elderly. So these are areas that are very popular and important and needed for the middle class. But overall, the total spending when this elderly program was like $100 million.
That's tiny.
It's very modest. I thought something Obama said was very interesting, and it spoke to me about the anger that there is over his help for Wall Street, because he said the way that he measures progress is, quote, not how the markets are doing, but how American people are doing. So it really sounded to me like he is trying to shift his emphasis and tell people that he's not just watching the markets, he's watching American people. And,
spending freeze for the markets and task forces for the middle class.
It's all about the middle class, you know, and of course, with the State of the Union tomorrow, it's very much on his mind.
Thank you, Louise and Todd.
Let's go now to Australia with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. We're going to talk one of the favorites, Rafael Nadal, bowed out of the Australian Open. He suffered a knee injury in the quarterfinal. Is his tennis career over?
So it's ouch for the Australian Open, because not only did Rafael Nadal
His knee has he has tennis, tendonitis in his knee, and this, he hasn't been playing top-ranked tennis lately because of his reoccurring knee injury. But also, Andy Roddick had to step out, and he lost in five sets, but he had to step out because of his shoulder injury. So, you know, this is the time in tennis where people are nursing the injuries. But there is some concern about Rafael Nadal. He's 24 years old. He could potentially make a robust comeback, but he has to figure out some way to manage this knee injury. And he's like one of these guys that athletically he just grew so big. Maybe, you know, he needs to take a little bit of a break and then step back into the game.
Are you saying he needs to lose weight?
Maybe just he might have grown too quickly. And I think
it's his style of play also.
And it's also he plays very
aggressive.
Aggressive style.
Yeah.
He is extremely aggressive. He has quick lateral movements, but also intense forward movements. He's probably one of the most aggressive tennis players.
He lunges
in the world,
on the court,
without a doubt.
Yeah, he lunges into the stands when he wins too. Have you seen?
Oh yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That may have affected his knee. We're also going to talk about a woman, Kelly Kulick, the first woman to win a professional PBA tournament. There's a 52 years in the coming.
PBA? What's that?
So PBA is the Professional Bowls Association. Oh. And I love this story because she's the same age as me. And she broke a long-standing barrier in winning one of the major events in the Professional Bowls Association called the Tournament of Champions. So now she wins $40,000. She's from Union, New Jersey. And she's assured a spot in the PBA's tour event starting field for the next 2 years. So she's put herself right into the thick of it, and this happened on ESPN. So now everyone around the country saw a barrier break in professional bowling.
Okay, thanks. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, also Louise Story and Todd Zwillick down in Washington. Coming up,
I can't think of anything more devastating to the public interest.
He's talking about the Supreme Court's decision on campaign finance rules and how foreign corporations might be able to influence American elections. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.